We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments and closing costs online in real time? Well, Rocket can. There's many of you thanking us and celebrating with us with a happy Thanksgiving. And it's right back at you, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving to you. A DA show created holiday, which not sure if we'll celebrate technically today, since both the body and the Bogues are off. But when those guys are back, maybe we will hold a Thanksgiving holiday.
Oh, will we?
Perhaps.
They might take off when they find out it's Thanksgiving.
We've had some fun over the course of 2022 with some mispronunciations here on the show, and so we said Thanksgiving turns into Thanksgiving, and that's how we'll celebrate. Coming up this hour here on the show, in 20, Nick Carparelli, who's the executive director of the bowl system, of the bowl season. How nice would that be to be an executive director of a season? Oh, I get to oversee the season. I'd like to be executive director of the summer. Give that one to me.
And I'll be executive director of the winter and immediately shut down the offices.
Okay. He's going to join us coming up here in 20 and 40 minutes. Certainly feels like the Cardinals are falling apart. And I am here to tell you that some good old-fashioned hate watching might happen this weekend. A little time off. Watching that Hard Knocks in season with the Cardinals. Mraz has teased that it exposes Cliff Kingsbury for the bozo that he is. And so that might be some good old-fashioned hate eating for me.
What if I told you that there is a line when Cliff Kingsbury's shown that house that you've crushed on the air where he says, quote, a little bit out of my price range, but
par for the course. Par for the course.
Enjoy.
So college football, we'll talk about the bowl season coming up in 20 minutes with Nick. But last night, the college football playoff rankings came out, and there was one big wowzie. Georgia 1, easy to spot. Ohio State 2, Michigan 3, TCU 4, all easy to spot. Check, 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 check. But at number 5, since Tennessee dropped to 10 with that brutal loss and Hendon Hooker's injury, instead of USC at 10-1, moving up to 5, a good win over a ranked UCLA team, LSU moved up to 5, despite being a 2-loss team. Why does this matter? Well, it matters a lot, actually, because Michigan-Ohio State's going to have a loser. Ain't no ties in college football. So on Saturday at 3:30 Eastern time, 4 o'clock Eastern time, one of those two will have a loss. And if LSU does what it's expected to do, which is beat up on Texas A&M like a drum this weekend, LSU at 10-2 would be lurking with a guaranteed loser in the top four sliding back. Now, USC could also be lurking. USC has a game against ranked Notre Dame this weekend. So between the two, LSU and USC, the Trojans have a chance for the better quality win, and they need it. Because what the College Football Playoff Committee is spotting right now is two quality wins for LSU in the top 10. Ole Miss when the Rebels were 7, and Alabama when the Tide was 6. And they're hanging their hat on LSU having two top 10 victories, and that Alabama win being really the signature victory of LSU season. USC gets a chance at a ranked win over Notre Dame, another one, but it's not a top 10 ranked team. And LSU would then get themselves into the SEC championship game. They are already into the SEC championship game. The reason I bring this up and set the scene is by putting LSU at 5 and USC at 6, they both have to do the same thing to get in. They have to win their final regular season game. They have to win their conference championship game to get in. Either one of them, by losing again, are out. But there's going to be a space because Ohio State-Michigan loser is going to have one loss and not play for a conference championship. By virtue of putting LSU above USC, it suggests that if LSU is a two-loss SEC champ, they're getting in over USC. Even though USC will have one fewer loss, even though LSU is going to be a two-loss conference champ, USC a one loss, if LSU's already ahead of USC, they've positioned this as if LSU takes care of its business, we're putting them in over the Trojans. We view the wins LSU have had as better than the ones USC have had. That's notable because it would once again shut out the Pac-12 from the playoff and open up the door for two SEC teams. A one-loss Georgia team and a two-loss, for the first time ever, a two-loss squad in LSU into the playoff. So beware if you're USC. You've obviously got to win these next two games, but you need LSU to lose to Georgia in the SEC title game. And if LSU does that, let's think about this. It suggests they're going to put in Ohio State or Michigan, the Big Ten winner, TCU if they finish the job, and then LSU. And then your fourth comes down to one loss Georgia, one loss Ohio State or Michigan, and one loss USC for one spot. Had they kept LSU behind USC, it would suggest that USC controls its own destiny. At the moment, the opposite. Now, we'll see. Next week, there's another playoff rankings. Maybe by virtue of beating a ranked Notre Dame team and LSU being an unranked A&M team, they would flip-flop. But at the moment, this was their biggest conversation. And Boo Horrigan admitted this yesterday, that their biggest point of contention was, is it LSU or USC at the 5 line? And they ultimately said LSU, and it's because they believe LSU is the better team with better wins. USC, dumb, dumb, dumb. 855-212-4CBS. Or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Tomorrow, good football action. And I'm not going to write off the Buffalo Bills as Super Bowl contenders. I know that that loss to the Jets was grisly. And I know that the way they lost to the Vikings, having been there, witnessing that collapse, was as gut-wrenching as it comes. But I'm not writing off the Bills because I think there's time for the Bills to become the Bills again. It was not long ago that we considered the Bills the best team in football. Remember, they did go to Arrowhead and they did win that game. And at that point in time, we said, Bills are the best team in football. Chiefs are the second best team in football. Eagles are the third best team in football. That was largely the consensus. Since then, they've had two bad losses, Jets and Vikings. And they slid to the AFC East standings because they've also lost to the Dolphins. But for all of those losses, those three losses, and maybe all three of them are bad, quote unquote, they can vindicate themselves in the final month and a half. They get the Jets again in Buffalo. They get the Dolphins again in Buffalo. They get the Patriots again in Buffalo. They also get the Patriots in Foxborough on a Thursday night, right? That's the Thursday night game?
That's, yeah, the week from Thanksgiving.
Next week.
A week from tomorrow. So let's just say the Bills win those home games and beat a Patriots team that right now they've proven last year they could go to Foxborough and win and then blow the doors off them in the playoff game. If they win those divisional games, three at home and one in Foxborough, they're 4-2. They're going to win the AFC East. They can vindicate the Jets' loss, the Dolphins' loss, sweep the Patriots, and then it comes down to the giveaway, the Minnesota meltdown against the Vikings. But all winnable games the rest of the way. Lions tomorrow at Chicago, a Bears team that may or may not have Justin Fields. We don't know if this injury is going to take him out the rest of the season. Also, the Bears are going nowhere. And at the Bengals, since he's starting to come around, but you couldn't say that Buffalo couldn't go to Cincinnati and win, and that could be a playoff tiebreaker situation where, you know, those two teams are vying for the same types of seeds in the AFC playoffs.
Playing a lot of animals.
Lions, Dolphins, Bears, Bengals.
That's a lot of animals.
And they're the Buffalo Bills.
But a bill isn't really an animal.
It's not. Buffalo. But they have the animal on their helmet.
Because the city is named after the animal.
Correct.
Bill's the guy that was from the city.
And he's got the wings.
I don't think he was from Buffalo. I just think Buffalo Bill was Buffalo Bill Cody, right? Which is like a Western.
Okay, so he herded buffaloes. So he kind of represents Buffalo.
Yeah, he's from, you know, the Old West.
He made buffalo wings.
Right, yes.
Bottom line is this. That's a lot. I mean, when you look at that schedule, you go, that's a big animal stretch.
That's a big animal stretch. You got to win the animal games. I'm not going to write off the Bills from being the best team in football yet. But there are two things that have to tighten up. Number one is the quarterback. Number two is the coach. Tomorrow is a game for both of those guys. Josh Allen looked the part again last week in Detroit against the Browns. Neutral site, indoor, played comfortably, could plant his feet, throw the football, no wind, no snow, etc. That helps out the Bills. That's what they want to do. They're a much better passing team than run team. They'll get that same chance tomorrow. I mean, the Lions defense allows everybody to throw for 300 yards on them and put up 30 points, so the Bills should not struggle. This should be a Josh Allen MVP game. He's not going to win the MVP, but this is where Josh Allen should look like one of the best quarterbacks in football. Tomorrow should be a day where we start sitting down for turkey, whatnot, after that game, maybe at the end of that game, and Allen already has a 20-point lead, has thrown for 322 yards, three touchdowns, and they win easily. That should be tomorrow's day. But Allen will not be judged on just tomorrow. Allen will be judged on going to Foxborough, again against the Jets, an elite defense, whether this Bills team wins the division or not, and then, of course, in January. The second thing that has to tighten up is Sean McDermott. And I am still worried that Sean McDermott is the actual weak link on this team. I'm going to give you three distinct coaching malpractice days for Sean McDermott. Last year, the wind game at home Monday night in Buffalo, when the easy answer was the Patriots aren't throwing the football. They're just trying to run the football. We've got the best running back on the field, Josh Allen. Just run Josh Allen and win this game. And after the game, when the Patriots hoodwinked the Bills with that win, and it was again a master's class in out-coaching and pulling down the pants of the opposing coach by Bill Belichick, McDermott had been embarrassed. And the way that he walked off the field, the way that he answered questions after the game, would not even give credit to the Patriots. He was so mad because he knew he was had. And when you find a guy like that, that knows they've been exposed but cannot admit it, they start getting real squirrely. Real squirrely. You got them cornered. They will not admit that they got exposed for being a doofus.
Sometimes it's hard to admit it.
Number two, last year, the 13-second game. You got to squib that kick. You got to squib that kick against the Chiefs. And instead, they kick it out of the end zone. Chiefs have the full 13 seconds. Two plays, kick the field goal. Overtime, you never see the football back. Coaching mistake by Sean McDermott. And then last week or 2 weeks ago against the Vikings, the Minnesota meltdown. You lead by 17 points. You start letting that lead slip away. Then you lead by 10, and it's second and two from the 7-yard line of the Vikings. On second and two, on third and two, on fourth and two, instead of going for the first down, running the football with Josh Allen or running the football with Singletary or anybody else, he called three straight pass plays. Now, he doesn't call the plays. Ken Dorsey does. But that's a moment where Sean McDermott has to go, guys, we have a 10-point lead at home. It's the fourth quarter. We're inside the 10-yard line. Run the damn football. We got 2 yards to go and three plays to do it. Run the freaking football. And they didn't. He let it go. And that ends up getting no points for them. Interception of the end zone on fourth down keeps the door open for the Minnesota Vikings. And then the fumble in the end zone. McDermott's not taking the snap. He's not making the snap. But the one thing McDermott's team cannot do there is fumble the snap of the end zone. He's got to tell Josh Allen, you get this snap if your life depends on it. And if you can't get out of the end zone, that's fine. You take that safety. But the only thing you can't do is not get this snap. And the Bills punt that away. Fumble that. It's the only thing they couldn't do. Three big spots, McDermott was hosed. We need to see McDermott in a big spot out-coach the opponent instead of getting out-coached. Last year, against the Patriots, hell of a job by him and that team. But just getting through the Patriots in the wild card round or the divisional round ain't enough this year. When we come back, we'll talk bowl season with the executive director, Nick Carparelli, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's going to be a good day with DA.
I can walk around like a deer with a cheese head. and a Brewers bat in my hand.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, dear, indeed. Welcome back. 23 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. You can listen to us on hundreds of affiliates nationwide and north of the border on the CBS Sports Radio Network. Also on SiriusXM Channel 158, and stream us on your phone using the free Odyssey app or the free CBS Sports app. You know, last year we debuted a wonderful segment called the Brouhaha, where we bet beers on every single bowl game. God, it was glorious. Andrew Bogus ended up owing 250 beers to Mraz. Had to bring him in with a hand truck and a wheelbarrow. It was fun. Well, bowl season's almost upon us, so the Brouhaha is coming back for year number two. And joining us here on the show is the executive director of bowl season, which is almost like the Santa Claus of college football, Nick Carparelli. Nick, good morning.
Good morning, DA. Thank you for that introduction.
The executive director of bowl season. I'm guessing that you just kind of go around, you hand out bowl bids, give people like a big bowl of almonds and maybe a six-pack and say, go enjoy yourselves?
You know, I wish it was that easy, but in effect, that's what it's like, I think.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. You're just spreading joy throughout the entire country, which is great. You know, I saw that on your bio. It's to advance the mission of the bowl season. And I thought the mission of the bowl season was just to give us something to do when we all had off in December and we were just like trying to work off the holiday weight. But there's more than that for the mission. So what is the bowl season mission?
Well, that's part of the mission for the fans. You know, bowl season serves so many people in the sports world. You know, it's really become, holds an important place on the American sports calendar. You know, you think about the events we look forward to every year. You know, we all know what we're doing that second Sunday in February every year. We're watching the Super Bowl. You know, March Madness is college basketball time. And December is bowl season. You know, it's one of those times of year that we turn on the TV on a Wednesday between Christmas and New Year's. We don't even know what bowl game we're going to find. We just know we're going to find one, and we're going to watch it.
And that is the most beautiful thing. It's like spin the wheel of football, and we're going to get a game at some point in the day, at some point of the night, which is a beautiful thing. There has been an expansion of bowl games, obviously, but still a set number of Division I programs. Do you think you'll ever cap the number of bowl games we have?
Well, you know, the bowl system has always been a market-driven system. You know, no one said that there has to be a certain amount. No one has capped it. No one tells communities they have to host bowl games, and no one tells schools they have to go. But everybody wants to. I believe we're at the number now where we really don't have room for more bowl games. You know, there's 41 games this year, traditional bowl games. 82 teams will participate. As we stand today, there's 73 bowl-eligible teams with a week to go. We saw Miami of Ohio punch their ticket last week for 74. We have two more 5 and 6 teams playing each other, so we know there'll be 75. With another 13 that could potentially get there and fill those last 7 spots. So what I'm saying is we're tracking right on that 82 number. That's kind of a typical year. There's just simply not room for more bowl games. But if there were, I'm sure we'd see more because people sure like watching them and they love playing in them as well.
Well, it's kind of a sticky situation in some ways because I know you guys want to have at least 500 records, but the more bowl games, the potential for more holes of teams that are not 500 or better. So sometimes you have to take a 5 and 7 team. How does that process work if you don't have enough bowl eligible teams?
Yeah, so that's a good point. Obviously, 5 and 7, a 5 and 7 team going to a bowl game is not desired. But you know, you and I would be making a lot more money if we could predict at the beginning of the year how many teams are going to be bowl eligible or have the ability to predict anything at that level. So that's the trick. We don't want to leave any team out that is bowl eligible and wants to go. But at the same time, sometimes you fall, a team or two short of that 82 number. I predict that might be what happens this year. We need 82. We might get 81, 80. So we have to dip into the 5-7 pool. So the NCAA has this thing called the APR, which tracks academic progress for each football program across the country. So if we need another team or two or three, we take all the 5-7 teams that fell one game short. We rank them by their APR, and the highest ranked APR teams get the first dibs on those remaining spots.
Okay, Nick Carparelli joins us, executive director of Bowl Season. So we've had some years where there's been bowl games after the college football playoff or after January 1 bowl games. That won't happen this year. Is that something that you guys try to avoid because it's kind of like, oh, these games are not as important, so they should be played prior as kind of a lead up to those bigger games?
Yeah, of course. Ideally, all the bowl games that do not factor into the playoff are played before the playoff. And that's what, as you said, that's what's going to happen this year. It didn't happen in the past, really, because of television windows and television availability. You know, that all but three bowl games are televised by ESPN. So you try to cram, you know, 40 of them in a 3-week window when they have other programming as well. Obviously, NBA, college basketball, NFL, etc. In the past, it was just a function of they didn't have appropriate time slots to fit them in. Fortunately, this year they were able to do that, and I think that's the more desirable schedule.
Let's see how well you know your sponsors here on the bowl games. Tell me if these are existing bowl games that got a new sponsor or their own bowl game. Jimmy,
wow, this is pressure. I better know this.
The Jimmy Kimmel LA Bowl.
Current bowl game.
So that was never something else.
It was never something else. It was the LA Bowl without Jimmy Kimmel. And now it has Jimmy Kimmel, but it never had anything else attached to it.
I see. And so how does Jimmy Kimmel factor into this bowl game?
Well, you know, the LA Bowl is a newer bowl game. It's only a couple of years old. They obviously, being out in LA, televised on ESPN, which is a part of Disney and ABC, which is the network that Jimmy Kimmel's on. And they just partnered with Jimmy Kimmel as a promotional vehicle. So, you know, I'm not sure what the financial arrangement is, but Jimmy Kimmel talks about it on his show, which a lot of people watch, obviously. He appears at the game, and it's a great promotional vehicle for that game.
Gotcha. The Cheez-It Bowl in Orlando, was that a previous bowl game, or did Cheez-It create that?
That was a previous bowl game. It was for a long time, previous bowl game. It was it was the Camping World Bowl. It was the it was the Tangerine Bowl years back, and it actually moved to Orlando from Miami years ago.
Oh, okay. Was that the old Blockbuster Bowl then?
You know, that's a good one. The Blockbuster was
there's
the
been a lot
back.
Of iterations. I'm not going to kill you on that one.
yeah. Blockbuster was never in Orlando, though. Blockbuster was in Miami, so
right.
I think that factors in somewhere. Yep.
Tony the Tiger Bowl. This is in El Paso. Is this the old Sun Bowl?
Yes, and it still is. It's the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl. You know, Sun Bowl has an interesting place in history. It was one of the first bowl games to have a title sponsor, and they've had many over the years. It was Hyundai. It was Brute. Sun Bowl is the second oldest bowl game. Rose Bowl is the oldest, as we know.
Is that right?
And then the Sun Bowl, the Cotton Bowl, and the Orange Bowl all started in 1935, and they're the second oldest bowl games.
Wow, the second oldest bowl game. You would not figure that. That's a really good little nugget there. Okay, is there a bowl game? We don't know the matchups yet, but you're really excited about it. You're like, this is going to be a show. You got to watch this one on TV. This one is going to be a lot of fun.
Well, yeah, it's hard to say that without the matchups. You know, on a passion, personal level, I always look forward to the Pinstripe Bowl because I was a part of starting that game 12 years ago when I was at the Big East Conference and we approached the Yankees about having a bowl game in the new Yankee Stadium, and they always treat me well over the years. The Bahamas Bowl, I mean, if you're going to go to a bowl game, you might as well go to the Bahamas and watch it. And we just saw Miami of Ohio clinch a spot in that game last night. the Fenway Bowl. I'm a baseball fan, and then this is their third try. You know, COVID kind of undercut them. They were supposed to have their inaugural game 2 years ago, then last year, and it's going to happen this year. So that'll be fun to watch them finally get off the ground.
Okay, very cool. Nick Carparelli joins us, Executive Director of Bowl Season. The bowl season is right around the corner. December 16th is the first one, Bahamas Bowl, right?
That is correct.
All right, so we're not far away, you college football sickos. Let's go. Let's do this. Nick, great to catch up. Have a very happy Thanksgiving, my man.
Thanks, DA. You as well.
Okay, Nick Carparelli joining us, Executive Director of the Bowl Season. Standing by with our headline this morning, here is Erica Herskowitz.
Good morning, DA. Well, we'll get it going with the NBA. The Suns beat the Lakers last night, 115-105. Devin Booker and Mikal Bridges led the way with 25 points apiece. The Suns dominating at home of late, now 9-1 in Phoenix. LA, on the other hand, 5-11 with the loss. The Kings topped the Grizzlies, 113-109. De'Aaron Fox poured in 32 points for Sacramento. Ja Morant was back from the ankle injury, scored 34 points in 34 minutes in the losing effort, and the Pistons outscored the Nuggets, 110-108. Meanwhile, he said he thought it was going to be louder. No surprise, Ben Simmons greeted with boos and, of course, some unsavory chants in his return to Philly last night as the shorthanded Sixers knocked off the Nets 115-106 behind 24 points from Tobias Harris. Simmons finished with a double-double, 11 points, 11 assists. Top 25 college basketball final scores between ranked opponents. Number 8, Creighton. Outscored number 9, Arkansas, 90-87. Number 14, Arizona, defeated number 17, San Diego State, 87-70. Hockey last night, the Sabres iced the Canadiens, 7-2. The Rangers skated past the Kings, 5-3. In the NFL, the Panthers State quarterback, Sam Darnold, will be the starter for Sunday's game against the Broncos, and the Rams yesterday waived leading rusher, Daryl Henderson. And at the World Cup this morning, Morocco and Croatia played to a goalless draw. Right now, Germany leads Japan 1-0 in the 34th minute. And now it is time to be stunned.
All right, let's get stunned to a news. Let's get stunned to a news.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
What do we have?
Well, I was helped out with a couple of suggestions this morning, DA, but there is one question I have to ask. Were you guys visited by HR for some reason? These stories are super tame, the ones that I got from Mraz
no,
and Bogish.
I don't think so.
Yeah, because, you know, typically they're not. It looks like a young bird just set a nonstop distance record for migratory birds flying at least 8,435 miles from Alaska to Tasmania, again, without stopping.
Whoa!
The bird was tagged with a GPS tracking chip and a tiny little solar panel that was allowing researchers to follow its journey. The bird is only about 5 months old, lost half of its body weight on this journey.
Whoa!
Yeah, so the most shocking part about this story is it doesn't have anything to do with male genitalia or bodily fluids, which is usually what you guys throw
at me. Did you say Alaska to Tasmania?
Yes, that's far across the Pacific. I mean, that's some major flying.
And the people were pissed.
What kind of bird was that?
It was a bird. It was a little bird. I don't know. If I say the name of the bird, I'm probably going to say it wrong. So I'm going to skip that part.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mraz, where do you assume Tasmania is?
First of all, it's a bar-tailed godwit.
Yeah,
okay.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. Tasmania, well, I'm assuming that's
I don't want you to feel embarrassed or that you ever would, but I wouldn't have known where Tasmania was if I did not just look on the map.
Okay, so my guess is Tasmania has to do with Tasmanian devil. I'm going to lead to some kind of volcanic territory based off of that.
Based on Tasmanian devil?
Yeah, because I picture the Tasmanian devil, you know, spinning around like a volcano-y.
Oh, wow, okay.
Really?
Interesting connection.
I'm going to go like a Fiji type of area.
Hmm, and where is Fiji?
Fiji would be in the Pacific. It's, you know, can go up and down sea level in the New Zealand, Australia, northern hemisphere of them.
He just looked it up.
No, I didn't.
No way. No.
Is it really Fiji?
No.
Tasmania is just south of Australia. an island between Australia and New Zealand.
Thank you.
Wow!
Thank you.
I feel like you just looked this up.
Yeah. No. I didn't. I don't know where Tasmania is. I'm guessing.
I'm not buying it.
Guys, it's from Alaska. It didn't fly to New York City. All right? She's saying it. She said it went across the Pacific. I'm assuming Tasmania is not Russia or Japan.
I would have thought Tasmania was closer to Africa. I would have put it in the Madagascar region.
Okay.
Same. That's where I thought it was.
Same.
But that's so set. But if it's south of Australia and Alaska is north of Canada, that is...
It's still an amazing flight, no doubt about it.
Incredible.
Getting from Alaska down to the southern tip of Australia is extraordinary. This bird, it's like an Ethiopian Kenyan runner.
It got tired of winter, right? Imagine the weather change you felt. You land down there like, whoa, this ain't Alaska.
No, and what makes you want to fly all the way across the Pacific?
You're in Alaska in November.
You got to get out?
Get me out. I mean, we all fly down to Florida. Why wouldn't this bird flock south? By the way, losing half its body weight, can it eat? It wasn't allowed to stop off anywhere?
It didn't stop. That's the whole point of the trip.
Oh, it's non-stop.
Where is it stopping? It's the middle of the ocean.
You get down.
Pick up some fish.
You pick up a fish. You can scoop and score. That doesn't count as a stop.
You need to hunt and eat while you're flying across the Pacific. That ain't easy.
It's a bird. It flaps its wings, it gets down with its beak, and it picks up a fish flopping out.
Don't they sleep? This is why people don't think birds are real. People think birds are machinations of the government.
Who? Well, Kyrie Irving thinks this?
Not
what are you
people,
talking about?
A small group of idiots.
They are people.
You know, nonstop, when you think of it, that's a key word there. That means the bird got tired, but kept going.
Exactly.
I get 3 blocks on my runs. I got to stop, walk a block before I keep going.
Now, Erica, did it say how long it took to complete this flight?
It did not. I did not see that in the article. But, I mean, I imagine, I don't know, days.
I got it.
The best part of Sun 2 News is we just kind of, like, clumsily walk our way through without knowing much about the story.
I got it. I found the story.
Erica didn't know the bird. Didn't know how long the flight is.
Wait, I got another. This is why. Go ahead.
October 13th to October 24th. It took 11 days flying straight.
Okay.
How could you not sleep for 11 days? You go crazy.
What were you going to say, Erica?
I was going to say, like I said, the most stunning part of this story is that it's not something disgusting.
Yeah.
I mean,
so
and the
dumb.
Reality
like
is
dumb. Dumb, dumb, dumb.
I love that you have my drops. I assuming, you know, you guys were talking about days off. I have like 30 days off and then I work one. But I got a story from Bogish. He sent me a story about an Alaskan fire department that rescued a moose from a basement. And I was thinking to myself, what do you really? I'm telling you, the HR must have come to see you.
Well, we've gone on a run of animal themed Stunned to a Newses. We have found that they rate very well amongst our audience, and they do very well amongst our conversation topics.
Perfect. Love it.
All right. Thank you, Erica.
You got it.
When we come back here on the show, is Cliff Kingsbury's Arizona Cardinals falling apart? They get off the plane in Mexico City from Mexico City and suddenly have to fire one of their coaches, but we don't know why. The story coming up next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Mornings are hard. Your sports radio show doesn't have to be.
Remy is in Ventura, California, here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, what's up, DA, and you and Mraz? You guys are a kick in the butt, man. I really enjoy you.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, listen, no problem. Hey.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey. 47 minutes past the hour, DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Celebrate responsibly. Make sure you don't shove too many ribs in your face today. PGP is out. brand new podcast about the show, and we're going to air the PGP for the first time on the show tomorrow. Tomorrow is a best of the DA, so you can listen to the PGP over the air tomorrow morning in the second hour of the program. Cliff Kingsbury is something else. The Cardinals get to Mexico City last week, over the weekend, and they have that Monday nighter against the Niners. They end up getting crushed 38-10 in the game. Before the game, they dismiss, Cliff Kingsbury fires his assistant coach of the offensive line, Sean Coogler. He then does his teleconference, and somebody says, hey, did you fire a coach? And Kingsbury says, no. He's asked the direct question, have there been changes to your staff since the game? Kingsbury says, no. As soon as the teleconference ends, they announce the firing. Kingsbury is something else. This dude thinks he's above reproach, plays by his own rules. He's done this multiple times. He's so snaky. He's so bad. He's just such a bad coach. He's so sloppy with everything that he does. He dresses great, wears nice sunglasses, but in terms of coaching, sloppy in everything that he does. So the Cardinals fired Sean Coogler before the game. We now have the reason why earlier this morning, as reported by ESPN about an hour and a half ago, Sean Coogler fired for groping women in Mexico City. Mexican authorities notified of the incident, which happened Sunday night, then informed the Cardinals, who terminated Coogler and sent him back to Arizona Monday morning before the game. He groped a woman in Mexico City over the weekend. So Sean Coogler, a member of this coaching staff, thinking, hey, yeah, we get to go to Mexico City, yeehaw! Not even focused on the game. This is the night before the game. Sunday night before a Monday night game. Thinks that it's time to party. Instead of really big game, in the division, could save our season, really tough squad, how do you run against the Niners? Instead of dialing in, goes to a bar and clearly gets drunk. I mean, you don't usually just randomly grope women at a Mexican City bar unless you're probably hopped up on Cuervo, on margaritas, one too many Coronas. So dude is probably drinking the night before a game in Mexico City and gets handsy with the locals. Number one, gross. Number two, of all the places you would get handsy, you're going to go to Mexico and deal with the Mexican authorities? Does that seem smart? This ain't Scottsdale, dude. This is Mexico City. You get thrown in jail in Mexico City, you might not make it out. That's who you want to deal with? I mean, what a dirtbag. So, doesn't care about the game, probably got lit up, does this, deals with the Mexican authorities, is sent home. But no, this is the second Cardinals coach this year that had an incident with a female. Back in the summer, the former running backs coach, James Saxon, turned himself into police after having an assault on a woman in her Indianapolis home. He was sentenced to a year in jail. And Saxon kept his job at the Cardinals until the arrest was made public. The incident happened. They didn't fire him until it went public in August. He was on the staff for 2 months after the incident. 2 months.
Come on.
So the Cardinals have had two guys this year who were aggressive with women. One guy kept his job for 2 months. The next guy got off the plane in Mexico City and said, fiesta, mamacitas. And they wouldn't even talk about it when asked directly about it. Kingsbury sucks. He sucks. And when will the national media descend upon his perfectly coiffed carcass and start picking at his eyeballs? Oh, it's great. Let's crush Nathaniel Hackett for a 90th straight day. Who's paying attention to how bad Cliff Kingsbury is? Sloppy, arrogant, poorly coached, bad guys on the staff. Who's paying attention? Pathetic. The Cardinal season is folding. Kingsbury should get the zig after the year, but he probably won't because he got that big fat extension of the offseason. But this dude and his staff and that team, miserable. They're at home on Sunday against the Chargers. One could only hope the Chargers light them up. Justin Herbert throws for 420 yards. One could only hope.
Brandon Staley's looking at the other side and going, woof, I'm not the worst coach today.
Yeah. I got to see this midseason hard knocks of the Cardinals that you're talking about.
I'm telling you, if you know the Cardinals, like know the backstory of Cliff Kingsbury, you will watch this and go, oh, this is nauseating. Nauseating. And the last episode, half the episode was about this offensive line coach.
Was it really?
He's like the main talking coach in the whole episode because the Cardinals had decimated the offensive line. He's making jokes about snacks and popcorn and poking fun at Kelvin Beecham. HBO basically highlighted Coogler the entire episode.
Oh, no. It
follows him around everywhere.
How are they going to handle this on Hard
Knocks? Exactly. Tonight. Can't wait.
Tonight is the next episode?
Yeah, 10 o'clock tonight.
Oh, I'm locked in.
Well, they're not going to have any footage from these last couple days. It'll be from last week.
Well, they continue from the game. They end it with the game. So he won't be coaching at that game.
So this should highlight that incident, this episode.
It should, because it'll have the game part in it.
When we come back, let's talk some college football. Tim Brando, Fox Sports, next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.